This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. It's time for another live stream with shower door professionals. It's great. Good time is always had by all. Nice to see your smiling faces. And hey, if you haven't tried joining us here in the Zoom call, you should totally do it. We were just talking a little bit, you know, Brian was talking about how, you know, he just decided to take the plunge one day and just join us. You know, it's a little, I can know it can be like a little intimidating, you know, kind of streaming live and, you know, don't know if you're going to say something stupid like I do every single week. Well, that's why I try to set a good example and just say something stupid all the time. You see, you know, like it doesn't kill you. You can just recover from it. I think I recovered from it. People are still showing up. So yeah, don't be afraid. Just jump in here, say hi, and it'll be great. Right, Bill?
That's it. We're trying to recruit new members all the time. Get some new people.
Exactly.
What was that? Shane that said he started a new business. He was working for somebody for 25 years and he ventured out. And I saw a few of us reach out to him. Brian offered help. There was a couple others that offered help if he needed to talk to somebody. And then I asked him to join our live stream. So hopefully he does. Shane, if you're listening, just click that little join event button here and jump on in.
We won't bite usually.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that too, that post, he, you know, he's kind of made that little announcement in the group that he was, you know, kind of launching out on his own. And I love to see that, you know, I mean, for me, it's like, it was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. You know, and I'll tell you what, it hasn't always been easy. There were some skinny days in the beginning. You know, I kind of started on the side. I was working, you know, for another contractor, just worked with my tools and decided to kind of, you know, start something on the side and got it ramped up a little bit. And then I felt like, okay, it's, you know, time's right. You know, I just went to my boss and quit my job and started work for myself full time. And, at one point I was like, oh man, I'm not going to make it, you know? And I had to like take a job again, you know, kind of go back and, you know, was working, doing my thing on the weekends and like after work and then working full time. Then the contractor I was working with then was wanting me to work overtime. So I was working like 6 days a week on my regular job, like 10-hour days. They wanted me to work on Sundays. I was like, no, man, I'm not going to work on Sundays. And I was just telling my personal customers, hey, you know, I'll get it. You know, can you work with me? And they were willing to. It was crazy. It was crazy. I loved every minute of it, you know, even the stressful times, you know, and it's made me who I am. And I feel good about myself.
Chris, in that other job, were you doing glass work also, or were you doing another construction trade?
Yeah, no, I was actually a union glazer. I was working for one of the shops here, you know, over the hill, we call it, over in San Jose, that area. Yeah, so, I mean, I was working actually on the university here. They were putting up a new, or, oh, no, they were remodeling. It was like a major remodel. And it was crazy. Well, hello there, Christina.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us tonight. It's great to see you.
It's good to see you guys too. I love this call.
It's the best.
Hi, Dad, by the way, I joined. He's so concerned.
So, wants to keep an eye on you, you know.
Yeah, tisk tisk. What's the topic tonight?
We were just kind of talking about the first quarter, you know, having wrapped up. I'm just kind of curious, how's that looking for people? How was your first quarter?
Really good. Lots of receivables.
everybody I've talked to, everybody is up from last year and had an amazing first quarter. And for some reason, they're still able to get their supply. There's still a few finishes out there that are difficult to get, like the satin brass, but they're getting their jobs done. Billy Britt told me it was just absolutely crazy. That's why he might not be on tonight, because he was so busy. But everybody I talked to had an amazing first quarter. And I'm wondering if it's seasonal or we're getting that across the country.
We've been busy. We're definitely up.
You're definitely up. Tim, you too?
Yeah, we're busy.
So anybody not busy? Anybody go the other way for the first quarter?
I'm busy, but our first quarter actually tanked. It was terrible.
Really?
Yeah, not well. I don't think I know. We had a lot of mistakes, whether it be vendor mistakes or me or my guy or whoever. We just had a really bad 6 weeks, 6-7 weeks of just mistake after mistake, which actually. In hindsight, I mean, it sucked no matter what, but in hindsight, it forced me to look at some things from a different light, which has forced me to make some decisions, actually. So, I mean, this is a different group here, but so we do shower doors, but the core of our business really is insulated glass doors and windows, not whole doors and windows, just insulated glass. And really, I looked at the numbers, and what I found was actually pretty surprising. Okay, I should be looking at my numbers. Point taken. Slap on the wrist. 14 years in business, and I just haven't gotten there yet. But I'm getting there quickly. So what I found is that the numbers were not exactly what I thought they were. Just because the P&L looks okay doesn't necessarily mean that you're really profitable or doing great. I don't know how to explain that any better, but one of the things that I found is that doing insulated glass installs, me and my estimator, we're run around chasing the numbers. And what I mean by that is, I'm the installer, and I'm running around seeing probably about 5 customers a day, anywhere from 4 to 6 customers a day, at an average of about $500 per job. So what's happening is, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, what I have allotted per travel unit, whatever, from the shop to the customer, customer to customer, whatever, I've decided it's $30 per shot. I don't know if you guys come up with the same numbers or not, but call it 30. And so I'm putting on 5 customers a day, 30, that's $150. That's real money. You know, my estimator, he's doing, call it 5 a day. That's another 150. That's $300 a day that, with the estimating, of course, you don't know that you're going to get all the jobs. But so right out of the chute, we're at $300. Okay, that's not a huge number, but it's big enough, especially when it's just there's 3 of us in the company. And so I'm running around chasing the clock for one. And you get it, right, Brian? And then I'm chasing the dollars. And if one of them doesn't fit or it cracks or the grids are wrong or whatever, or the, you know, whether it's our fault or our vendor's fault, or there's junk between the glass, you know, a lot of times you don't find that stuff until you put it in and clean it. And we've done it the other way, where we've checked them in the shop. Trust me, you don't find them until you put them in the window. It's a crazy thing. I've literally spent 10, 15 minutes on one piece of glass looking for stuff because we had a problem with a particular vendor and customer.
Well, yeah, the lighting is just different.
Yeah, it's totally different. And so I looked and you can't find anything. You're perfect. You go to install it in the window and boom, it's terrible. Well, not only did you waste that travel trip, you wasted the time installing it. And so you got to do all of that again. Plus you don't get paid for it. So that goes to, you know, out the window. So pun not intended, I guess. So it's just it's a vicious cycle. And we had so many of those in the last 6-7 weeks that it really killed our business. The business numbers anyway. So that was a big, not revelation. I mean, it's obvious, but I saw it in living color, I guess. So then, we also make insulated glass. And again, looking at the numbers, we lost money last year on insulated glass. We've only done it for a few years. We're mainly our one customer. Because I haven't taken the time, I haven't hardly had the time to get out and market to the other companies in town. So, so in the last week,
it may be a good thing, right? I mean, if you're having that many problems, it may be a good thing that you're not marketing people, because you're still kind of dialing in. It sounds like that.
Yeah. 14 years in, I'm still dialing in. You're right.
Well, but the insulated glass is still a new thing for you, though, kind of.
We've made insulated glass for 4 years now. And we aren't making that many mistakes. Occasionally, our other vendors that make the ones that we don't make are kind of the biggest issue there. But so I decided to stop making insulated glass. I'm going to shut that company down. It was a separate company. So as of May 1st, that's all gone. That will free up some of my time, and some of my sanity. And then the second decision we made is to stop doing insulated glass. That's going to be a progression, a transition. We're just going to be a shower door only company. I don't know how long that transition is going to take, but to replace the income that we're making now with all shower glass, I've got to do, which to you guys, this is going to sound like crazy low, but I've got to do one shower a day, five a week. And that replaces my income, not my income, the whole top line, that replaces everything. So, shower doors is going to be it. I'm hoping it doesn't take too long. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to totally interject. I have so many thoughts on what you're saying, though, because I come from a background of business consulting and management and everything. And everything that you're saying is so true and relevant. And when we're talking about Q1 results and that being, you know, all of us doing great, you know, you have to decide, are you talking about your revenue or your profit? And, you know, our revenue went up, but I think our profit margin went down just a little bit because we're also trying to absorb some of the costs associated with, you know, increase in materials, labor, et cetera. I mean, that we're all facing right now. And we also have return trips and things like that. Something that struck me, though, is your trip charge that you calculated. You said about $30. I'd be interested to hear what everybody else calculates.
Me too.
Because we came up with about $85 or $90. If you start looking at, you know, the hourly expense for the guy that's going out there, the wear and tear on your truck, I think the government mileage wear and tear is like 65 cents a mile. You do gas on top of that. If you do, what else? There's so much.
Insurance,
auto insurance, and
health insurance,
depreciation,
what they call
workers' comp.
Thank you, workers' comp. That's exactly everything. If you talk about everything, you know, it's so much that it adds up so quickly. And we came up with about $90. And that doesn't even include the opportunity cost of having him go measure at another job that could be more profitable, right? No. So, you know, those expenses are astronomical. So we started we started doing service work more, and we weren't doing service work at all because obviously it's not super profitable. Very little.
We did some, but so we do like a mandatory $85 trip charge for service work, and that's non-refundable. Might be applied against, you know, if there's a purchase of a new door or something.
Right.
And Glass Doctor, I know, and I think, what's his face, has a friend there, but Glass Doctor in Atlanta actually charges to come out and do quotes. And then that $85 trip charge or whatever their charge is goes towards the cost of the shower. Do any of you guys do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't. We've made the conscious decision not to. It's not a good business decision, frankly. Like, it would be much better if we charged to go out and do quotes, but it's a goodwill decision that we've made just because we know it. We're not going to fight with our customers about stuff. You know what I mean? But I want to hear more about that from you guys. Like, what do you think about that?
Christina, what do you think our closing ratio is currently? I mean, because we've improved it, because we were probably, about 65%. Now we're closer to about 75% closing ratio, maybe.
Yeah, which I think somebody said means we need to raise our prices. Once you're over 70, you should raise your price. Yeah. But
way too high. That's way too high. I mean, a good closing rate is like what, 40?
Well, let me tell you something though. I just met with a customer yesterday, and they got my name from three different sources. I mean,
well, that's a good.
Know that actually.
Okay. Yeah, it was three or four. It's like there was a couple tile guys recommended me, and the plumber recommended me, and it's like, wow, you know. So that helps on the closing ratio. I think we've branded very well, and that we've got nothing but 5-star in all of our reviews, except maybe today, Christina. But
hey, I have more on that, though. I don't think she has a leg to stand on because our picture is green glass. So
that's another topic.
People, y'all, people these days, so crazy. But anyway, going back to you, Brian, I didn't mean to take away from what you were saying, but I totally hear what you're saying about like your profit margin, profitability. Going back, one of our takeaways this past quarter was, I think we should eliminate service work. We just don't have time right now. It's not forever, but it's definitely for now. Brian, I think in this economy, it'll be really easy for you. I think it's going to be much easier for you to get those 5 showers a week that you need than it would be for you to try to salvage the insulated glass situation that you're talking about. So
yeah, I think
that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Interesting.
Brian, we had a similar thing. When we started the glass fabrication, we were doing 1/4-inch glass. And I guess we touched on this last week. And we were like a hamster on a wheel. We were running our tails off and not making money on it. Once we made the decision to cut the 1/4-inch glass and get rid of it out of our product line and just stay with the 3/8 and 1/2-inch, profits went way up. Less wear and tear on the machines, less manpower, less headaches. So we were chasing every little thing, and it wasn't smart. I think what you're going to do is you take a look at your insulated glass, how much you charge for it, what do you really make on it? At the end of the day, what's your net profit on that? You may not need 1 shower door a day. You may need 2 a week when you really look at the profit of it. and you look at the profit of what you can do on the shower door end of it.
Yeah.
You're going to be amazed at the difference. But thank God, and you took the time to analyze it, because a lot of people don't analyze it. They just figure they got to do more. And more could actually get you in more trouble, not more profit.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Sometimes you have to put the foot down on the gas, and sometimes you got to hit the brake. And I, like I said, I was forced really to take a look, a hard, serious look, and I didn't find what I thought I was going to find. I actually thought we were going to start transitioning away from insulated glass on the one company to shower doors, and ramp up on making the insulated glass by freeing up some time and going out and talking to the other companies in town and getting them on board as customers. But when I looked at the numbers and really the whole situation, it just became glaringly obvious. So really the takeaway from all of this, whoever's listening, know your numbers.
Well, can Greg, you charge more for the insulated glass?
Probably, possibly, but not enough more. I ran that scenario through my head. And at the end of the day, as you all know, you can only charge so much for a thing, right?
Mm-hmm. I used to think that was true.
Well,
me too.
So what I'm referring to is, at some point with insulated glass, you bump up against the price of a new window installed. And they'll just say, well, I'll just get a new window, or I don't need it. I'm just going to not do it. Obviously, that's shower doors as well. But but the thing with shower doors is shower doors are sexy, right? Compared to insulated glass. Insulated glass are like, hey, that's nice. You know, I mean, we hear all the time, hey, that's beautiful. Wow, that looks great. But at the end of the day, it just looks like what it was supposed to look like when it was new, right? A new frameless shower door, that's sexy. And so I think you can get away with charging a little bit more. Depends on competition. I don't know. You guys tell me. That's my take on it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Ryan, I think if you focus not just on shower doors, but what other products could you sell that are similar, like a wine closet,
right?
And focused into that, because every house you put in could use a shower door and a wine closet, or a glass railing, or an office partition door out of glass, whether it's a barn door to their office or dining room. A separator, you'll probably end up making much more money with the same manpower, and you're getting more dollars per trip to whatever residence you're going to.
Yeah.
Exponentially. When we first started doing frameless shower doors, it wasn't for every house, obviously, but it's changed. So not only has the cost of tempered glass come down from when I started years ago, it's like the thing. If you don't put a frameless shower door in a new house now, it's looked like you've dated it already by 20 years. So now the wine closets are the new fad. I see it in Arizona. I see it in California. I see it in Florida. I think that's going to be a trend that you might want to start focusing on.
Yeah, I'm starting to ask around. I'm not sure. I mean, I know it's builders. I'm not sure how to break into that market yet.
Designers. People that are helping the builders design a home in their model homes, do one or two of them for the parade of homes or for a particular builder that you do at a deeply discounted price, especially in their model homes as a feature wall.
Right.
And I've sold four of them just by telling friends about it. And now my daughter-in-law just put one in. She had a party the other night, and we're going to get five orders just from that party.
Wow.
So it's, it's really popular. And you
put
talk
it on
about,
your website too.
You talk
put
about
it on
sexy.
Your website. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to revamp all of that.
So that brings up a topic. Thank you, Christina. We just did our brand new website, just launched it 2 days ago. But the questions came up is, when a buyer is buying, what do you think is the most important thing for them? Are they looking at how good is your website? What is your reputation? How important are your Google reviews? How important are personal reviews? And is it better to have a video review from a customer as opposed to a typewritten review? What's their buying power?
Wow. So it's all of it in our industry. It's all of it. But, and I love the idea of the video testimonials, and actually Brad has a ton of those, but people are looking at Google reviews more than anything right now. You want high Google reviews and you want a lot of Google reviews, because if a lot of people think you're great, that's enough. If three people think you're great, that's your mom, your dad, and your brother, you know?
Right. Well, what's a number before somebody goes, oh, that can't even be true. That's fake.
So Bill, you know, I'm still a small guy. I don't have anything of the items that you just put it out. So I usually say that more than shower doors, we sell trustness and loyalty.
Right.
So I put myself out there and I try to sell myself first. And then the shower doors comes with.
So what are your competitors? I mean, obviously you must have other people in your market. Are they doing the same thing? Are they putting out trustworthiness, product brand, Google reviews? What drives a customer to make that final decision? Well, and at what point do they look at your Google reviews and say, no, that's got to be fake? Nobody has.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm bringing it up, we got 2,500 Google reviews with an average of 5 stars. Somebody's going to say, that can't be. That's impossible. And like, it's got to be fake.
Well, the Google reviews, are going to be part of your SEO too. So, I mean, if you're popping up at the top of the search engine, or if you're not showing up at all, I mean, that determines whether or not they're even going to see you in the first place. So that's what makes Google more important. But I'd say the number needs to be just a little more than your competition, whatever that is.
So when you shop for something, let's say you looking for a hairstylist, all right, a service oriented business, doesn't need to be shower doors. What is most important to you? Price? Convenience? I'm saying most important. They're all important, like Christina said. Every one of these factors is important, but you want to prioritize it now. What would drive you to go to a particular salon? Is it the Google reviews? Or is it the convenience of being local? Is it how many people they have on staff? Is it their hours? Is it their pricing? What is it?
Well, I think the online thing is getting to be where it's first off a legitimacy. It used to be that if you didn't have a website, no one thought that you were a legit business. I think now it's getting to be where if you don't have reviews, if you're not on, you haven't even talked about, are people looking at Facebook instead or looking at some of these other social media platforms? They may be sending out a Facebook message to all their friends and asking, you know, who would you recommend that I go to for a hair salon? I think once they get to your website, all they're doing is just kind of making sure they're just kind of looking to see if something just looks totally off. I don't think you have to go crazy if you just look like they would expect you to look.
They're confirming your decision.
Let's shift it from
validation. Yeah, that's all it is, validation.
So let's shift it from hair salons now to shower doors and pick your competitors in your area. You probably got 4 or 5, I would assume, at least, right? Yeah. So what do you need to put on your website that's going to separate you from your competition that people are going to say, I want to deal with Shannon?
Oh, me in particular? I know.
Or Shannon's company.
I know better pictures. yeah, I know better pictures for sure. I've had people tell me, well, and the Google reviews too. Yeah. So what I've had people tell me is, you know, this one lady, she said, oh yeah, my builder told me to go get my shower from such and such company, but I looked at their website and they didn't have the showers I want. They really do a lot of quarter inch stuff. You have the showers I want. That's, you know, so they saw the pretty pictures. What I'm trying to do for our company is do a lot of information. And that's just my personal method of kind of differentiating ourselves, is that we're the experts. So we have knowledge. So I'm trying to put out as much knowledge as possible so that those people who are like, you know, really researching and actually reading the text on your website, I want to appeal to them. I also want them to kind of figure out what they want before they call us, so they don't waste our time. So double duty there. But
all right. So now, following up on Christina's point,
yeah,
you want to put information. Do you want to put it in text, or do you want to do it in video?
God,
I'm gonna do testimony. A testimony is very strong.
What'd you say, Vader?
A testimonial is this powerful.
Yeah, but a video testimonial or a written one?
A video for sure.
I think the videos are impactful. I see your company's videos, Bill, and a lot, some of the others there, but your videos, I think, are extremely impactful.
Well, we feel that way too, but it's also good to get a feel of, you know, that maybe that's just Florida. Maybe it's just somewhere else. I'm really interested what you look at when you're looking at, first of all, for SEO rankings, video is going to play a big part of it, because if people go and they start watching it, they know that your bounce rate goes down. They're not bouncing around from page to page. They're locked in on it. So I think videos are really important, but they're also getting your personality. So you make sure that whatever personality's on here comes through. That's really important too. But I don't know, Christina, the other thing is, if you were shopping, I don't know, just pick an article, would you want to do business with a company that's involved in a community and gives back in a community? Is that important? Or is that just icing on the cake to say, yeah, I really like that company. Oh, they give to Make-A-Wish too. Now I want to do business with them.
So that's a really good question. And you brought up, like, especially with hairdressers and stuff, It with any product and with any product marketing, you have to figure out your personas. So for me, and I presume for a lot of you, if I'm going to go to a hairdresser, they need to be open at 7 a.m. or like 6 p.m. because I'm busy during the day. We all work. We don't work from home. We don't do like standard jobs. So, you know, that's important to me. Especially, or like a doctor's office or whatever. But, you know, with shower doors, our personas are people who are selling their house or buying a house or both. People who are upgrading an existing home and trying to put lipstick on a pig. People who, designers, we do a lot of designers. We have a lot of remodeling contractors. So like those are that's our persona group. So what a lot of these people are looking for is good price, quick installation, no problems, or, you know, problems that we're going to resolve and not put back on them, or like reliable communication. I don't know, just stuff like that, you know?
So with the pecking order, is price still up here, or will price start taking a back seat if you're giving them a good product?
Always build value.
Of course.
Price takes the back seat.
Always build value. A homeowner, a lot of times, starts with price because that's all they know.
Right.
Right.
I agree with you.
And then once they start to research and once they start to talk to various people, then I try to build value. My warranties, I do a 3-year warranty on material and on labor. You know, we use the proper type of silicone for the type of substrate that they have for us. We have been doing this for so many years. We know what we're doing. We have a great success ratio. We don't make a ton of mistakes. Yeah, we do have some problems. And a great thing is we follow up on the problems and we jump on them right away. Mm-hmm. And then if they look at the website and they see it's 5-star, and I can even say, you know, we're 5-star, you know, then it kind of solidifies things. So now the price starts dropping down on the list because you built value, right?
Yep, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. By the way, I think I do see Shane on here.
Yep, Shane has joined the call. What's up, Shane? Hey, we're Shane. Talking about you, man.
Were your ears burning or what?
No, well, I've been trying to figure out how to get on there. Every time I try, I was on my phone, and I finally said, I'm going to put that up and get on the laptop. So I finally figured it out, so here I am.
Welcome
aboard.
For the rest of you that don't know, Shane had posted this week that after 25 years working for somebody, he decided to venture out and go on his own.
And woohoo!
And a lot
congratulations.
Of us have reached out. We all reached out to him and say, join this group. I think it's going to be very beneficial. So amen. thank you for taking that step, Shane.
Oh, you're welcome.
And we're talking about websites, and I think Shane's website looks really good. I checked it out. Yeah, well done.
Credit to my awesome wife. She built the whole website and everything by herself. So
good for you. Welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, Shane, you're not from Texas, are you?
I am. Give it away.
The accent.
Yeah, for those who are listening and not watching the video, it's like he's got, you know, Texas flag, you know, some like it's something in the shape of Texas on his wall behind him, so. And an American flag too, of course.
Can't leave out the American flag.
That's right. That's right.
I think I saw Greg Stoll on here. Greg?
Greg's on too.
Hey there, Bill. How are you, sir?
My God, this is great. How are you, Greg?
Doing very, very well. Actually, I had some nice conversations with Brian this week, and Shannon and I had some conversations. So there's a lot of stuff that happens not during this Zoom meeting that's extremely helpful.
Yes, and thank you. Much appreciated.
You guys got snow this week?
What did you say?
Did you get snow this week? Because I saw.
Yeah, we got a little on Saturday. Went away.
Wow.
Sorry about that.
Welcome to the South. If you don't like the weather, wait 24 hours.
Yeah, it'll change. No, I would encourage anybody like Brian reached out to me and I reached out to Shannon because she has a tempering oven. She's very similar to us. She fabricates and installs and she's not obviously in a competitive market. So it was perfect for me to reach out to her. And we just cross-checked a lot of notes and we both came away with some information. In a conversation, you find out you're doing a few stupid things even though you run a successful business. So thank you, Shannon. You did not know that you brought to the surface some stupid things I was doing. And
we're
then
all
in Brian's
doing
case,
our own stupid. So it's just different stupid for different people.
And then Brian had some questions. And of course I'm a little further ahead where he is now. So he was able to, you know, glean some information. And yeah, you know, so it's all good. It's a great group.
Yeah, I agree.
Good.
Warms my heart. I love to see you guys networking together. I mean, that's what this is all about, you know. It's like, go ahead and speak up, reach out, you know.
Yeah, I would encourage the smaller guys. I don't mean that as an insult. I was there. I'm nowhere near Bill's size, so I'm kind of in the middle. But if you're a one or two man operation, I would definitely connect with some other one or two man operations on here and find out what you're doing, especially when there's one guy, you got to be the bill collector. You got to be the quote estimate guy. You got to be installer. You got to be the service guy. You got to be all those things and talk to these people that are not in the same market and you will absolutely pick up some information. It's really, really helpful.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes even people who are in the same market, you know, I mean, they may not want to do exactly what you want to do, or there may be some complimentary things where you can send people, you know. There might be like, oh man, I hate doing mirrors, you know, I don't even want to bother with that. And they're like, oh, I love doing mirrors. It's my favorite thing. Awesome, man. Okay, now we know. It's like I can send those your way. And yeah.
Is there anybody on the group that likes doing mirrors? Likes doing mirrors.
Yeah, I do.
I do like them. I actually do like them. Yeah.
Wow.
I like the challenge of it. And it's the same type of precision
in a frameless shower door goes into a well laid out, cut, polished, installed mirror job, where when it's done right and it's done, you know, with tight tolerances, I mean, it looks
dynamite.
Yeah.
How are the number? I could never get the numbers to work.
I sweat it sometimes. I just had a sheet of antique mirror delivered this week, you know, and I mean the sheet cost me like $900. And I mean, you test your nerves when you start chopping up a sheet of mirror that, you know, that has that kind of number on it. But, you know, I mean, I got all my sizes cut, I got it polished, and I'm ready to install it next week. So, you know,
nice.
There's that same sense of satisfaction. The nerves are a little more on edge sometimes, but I like that. That's me.
Where do you get your antique mirror from?
Bear Glass, in out of Queens in New York.
We just found for the time that we put into those custom mirrors with three holes and two outlets and out of square cabinets left and right and crown molding, that by the time you get done, you could have done two or three shower doors. Back to Bill's point about we do them still as a service for our builders. But if I announced to my crew tomorrow that we're discontinuing mirrors, they would hoist me up and be very happy.
I don't get too many mirror jobs because I price them. I think I price them a little higher than some of my competition because I know the time and effort that goes into it. So I end up losing a lot of the jobs, which, you know, I don't cry over it. But, you know,
we had a lady. So funny that you say that. We had a lady try to tell us that she got a mirror quote for a mirrored wall that was like $300 less than ours. And I was like, awesome. Take it. Sounds great. Yep. And she called me back the next week and was like, hey, they never answered my phone call. Can you still do this job? And so I went out there because there was like a measurement we needed to get still. And the walls were bowed like crazy. And, you know, it was going to be this tight fit situation with really weird sides. And it was going to be like 10 inches wide by 112 tall. So really fragile. And I was like, frankly, I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't want to do this. And she's going to find another design. I feel really bad, but like it was going to be really bad. It was not going to work out.
Don't be anybody who ends up doing any kind of mirrors. The tolerance is so tight, like the gentleman had stated. It's a real tough game. Shower doors, you can fudge a little bit. You got U-channel, you got hinges. You got mirrors, butt glazing. Yeah, there's no forgiveness. Thank you for letting me in the group. This is the first time I've been on this thing. Well, yeah, if you cut the mirrors in-house, like the gentleman had stated, yeah, if you're on top of your game, you're on top of your game. And you mark it up. Your labor is important.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us tonight, Chris. I see you, you know, posting
good
stuff,
see you, man. And
stuff. So.
Yeah, I just actually took up a company here out of Florida, Massachusetts. And it's Elite Glassworks. And I'm going... already measured a couple of shower door jobs. It's a friend of GC that was the best man at my wedding. You know, good friend. But he wanted to break into this. And I told him, I says, I know a little bit about it. I worked for AGC for, just about 20 years. Craftsman Fab out of Houston, Texas. Coastal shower door enclosures out of Jacksonville.
Sure.
So, and then bullet resistant, fire rated, all that stuff. So it's just right now, it's just trying to find a supplier. And before I was on the upper echelon of selling glass to people and now trying to buy it again. Totally different story. Totally different story. But that's all right. I got friends.
Yes, you do.
Thank you, sir.
Has anybody else noticed hardware and glass seem to be, I hate to jinx it, but it seems to be a little bit better than a couple months ago.
It's getting a little better from what I, I was
getting a little better.
Gentleman, a sales rep today, and he said it was getting a little bit better. He said to go to HDMI for some reason. HMDI or
HMI?
Yeah, HMI, Cardinal.
That's because Dave Coral's doing his job.
Yeah, so it's like, and the gentleman who owns the company opened up CRL account, but you know, that's for industrial closers and things of that nature. So if I got, you know, I got guys who need something, just go down there and end up picking it up, put it on the account, and we'll figure it out later. You know, so you don't have your truck stack.
You probably have a branch nearby. I mean, they're everywhere.
It's right down the road. And trying to find a decent shower door, 3/8 temper, and also to get 1/4 inch lammy has been a bitch. So I've gone to Solar Seal out of Eastern Mass, which has their qualms. But still, I said you got to end up crawling before you walk. And I press that to the owner.
Chris, reach out to Joe Flynn.
I'm from Karis. Karis and Karis out of South Boston.
Chris, reach out to Joe Flynn. I don't know if you see his post on here.
Oh, yeah.
He's in Eastern Massachusetts. He's a great guy. And he will help you out. I mean, he's a glass guy just like you and I. But for some of those sources, he's a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, because right now it's like... it's a fledgling thing. It's an offshoot of a GC. When I was in the glass company, dealing with a GC was like the worst goddamn thing in the world. So, y'all chuckle. I get it.
Yeah.
So he wants a glass division. And I'm like, okay, I speak the language. I can end up getting it done. I just don't want any problems. So, this Joe Flynn, I'll definitely look him up.
Yeah.
What company is he with?
I think it's South Shore Glass, maybe.
South Shore.
Or Chris, help me out there.
Yeah, I'll look him up in the group. No worries.
Yeah, just under Joe Flynn, you'll find it.
Yeah.
You got it, pal. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's what this group is for, man.
Yeah.
Is anybody using Southeastern Aluminum out of Jacksonville?
Greg, I used them for 16 years, and about a year and a half ago when they imploded, at least they did for up here, I'm in West Virginia, it was an absolute disaster. And I spent probably 8 months trying to get out from underneath of them. And it was a hell of a battle with them. I used them religiously, and I had all my eggs in one basket, shame on me, but they, for a while early on, they met 90% of the needs, whether it be heavy or even framed or semi-frameless glass. But let me tell you, the last year and a half, they've been absolutely a disaster.
Yeah, we've been with them for over a decade, and same thing. I guess the owner sold, and then the new owner passed away, and then they sold it to an investment group, and the head of the investment group passed away, and then of COVID, and now they have new owners. So it's been exactly that, a dumpster fire. Of course, we fab our own glass, so I don't rely on them for that. But the hinge supply has been, and we like their hinges, the second to portals, because the quality of those gaskets. I'm so sick of the CRL squishy cheese gaskets. And so the Southeastern stuff's been back in stock lately, and the quality's been consistent. So, I don't buy any glass from them, but the hinge supply has been much, much better lately. And again, it's not portals quality, but it's close. The guys don't like FHC hinges. They don't like CRL hinges. So we're trying to focus on portals and Southeastern again.
Good.
So you guys have a lot of opinions between like the clear gaskets that portals uses. I think they're still using the clear gaskets. Mm-hmm. Versus like the black gaskets that CRL uses?
Just the quality. I mean, the portals are form fit to the hinge. They look terrific, and they're thicker, and they recess them a little bit. So when you tighten down the hinge, they're not squirting out. And the CRL just.
That's for like rain glass or a patent 62 or some of the other options. so you don't have to end up laying a little bit of silicone to kind of pick up the gaps. Correct?
You're talking about the hinges.
You end up seeing the gaskets end up being difficult. Well, they're better.
They're just thin they're flimsy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what Greg is saying is the way they cast the plates, the gaskets get pocketed inside of that. So when you tighten it down, it doesn't squeeze out where you have to trim it around or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice fit. You'll see a lot of doors after a while, when it gets loose, the gaskets are coming out between the plate and the hinge, or the plate and the glass. And it just looks terrible. The fact that they're pocketed in place is a mechanical way of locking them in. It's such a better look.
I think they have a better grip too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why, because there's nowhere for them to go because they're pocketed right. in.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
They're not stretching out.
Pattern glass.
Without doubt.
And that was portals, did you say?
Yeah, portals.
Yeah.
Portals has a good product. They have a good product.
They're more money, but boy, they're a good product. Inventory's online. Bola bought them, but they seem to have left them alone. So
yeah.
Well, because the owner of Portal stayed on with Bola. So
nice.
I can't remember his name. I used to know him. Eric. Always carried a backpack with him. See him at all the glass shows, but he stayed on. So it's not like he just sold it and he's out of the business.
He's out, yeah.
Still very much.
I think they just came out with a satin brass color too. So not sure how well that matches the CRL hardware. I'd be interested to know if anybody has used that.
It's a little bit different. It has more of a brushed finish to it. The color, the tone is a little different. It's darker than CRL satin brass. It's not that same kind of yellow. But I mean, if you can get all the hardware to match, I mean, it looks good. You know, it looks good. It's a heavier brush though to it for sure.
Okay. That's the problem when you start mixing and matching different vendors. The brush lines are different and the color dye is just a little bit different. You can get away with it if the hinges are really far apart and the handle's way over here. But if you start using a header and your hinges close to it, they don't match.
Or a big steam unit with movable transom clamps and clamps in the ceiling. And
you got to get everything
90 degrees.
Source. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I have experience with portals from way back. And early on, I had some problems with their hinges rusting out internally. And literally, some of the parts broke off in the inside and cracked the tile because it locked up when they tried to operate the door. Now that was early on. They said that they had a coating problem with the internal stuff because their pistons are different. They're not the same. They've got, if you take it apart, they've got kind of like this, oh gosh, I can't even remember exactly how it looks. I've got pictures of these hinges though, taken apart, that are rusted out. So I do want to bring that up in case you do experience some problems ever. I'd like to hear about it. But they have the clear silicone gaskets. I had a few door adjustments with that, believe it or not. And I love their product. I mean, the finishes on their hinge plates are beautiful. They have this tiny OG edge around the edge of their, I think it's their Symphony line. It's a gorgeous product, but I wasn't totally sold on it. One thing, it was expensive too. I think they were a good bit more than Sierra Lawrence.
Their customer service is great though.
Yeah.
Which matters, really matters.
Mm-hmm.
So Brad, you brought up corrosion, and I was telling Chris last week that we've had a little bit of corrosion. He was asking about, you know, if I got corrosion because of siliconing inside of clips. We don't usually, but sometimes we do, and it feels like we do all CRL, and it feels really inconsistent, and I can't find any reason behind it. What have you guys seen when it comes to corrosion? Have you found anything that's causing it when it does come up?
Like on clips in particular? Or you're talking, okay.
I'd say clips mostly, yeah.
You're talking about silicone discoloring or erosion on the clip?
So inside we'll have someone report that there's like green leaking out the bottom of the clip, and we'll open it up and it's all corroded inside. And
it's Chris, the silicone.
Well, and Chris at one point said,
an incorrect seal.
But it's not always. So how can it be the silicone if it's not always happening?
It can be like if the brass is exposed and the finish isn't complete, which like we've had to grind, believe it or not, on some parts to make things fit or whatever. And if you don't get it painted, primed or whatever, then you can have corrosion. But I've seen corrosion before. It's rare for a clip.
Yeah, it's
on the bottom.
It's brass. So if it is exposed anywhere, it will turn green.
That's right.
So it might be just, an improper finish.
On the back of the clamp. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to say it. Been doing business with CRL since I was a baby, But the quality just hasn't been really the same, in recent years. It's like, I'm talking about like the gaskets. I mean, they're not even, you'll get them. They're not even stamped out properly. They're just kind of like, you guys know what I'm talking about.
That's a great point about the stamping on the gaskets themselves. Yes, they've reduced that. They used to end up having like more of a granular pattern. You could end up seeing like kind of like ridges. And they've reduced that because I think of a manufacturing process. So now, if you want to add some silicone to it before you end up putting it in, that's up to you, but I wouldn't end up going berserk with it.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to make a mess, that's for sure.
No. And plus, voice warranty.
So, Christina, let me maybe help you here. If you've run into that situation, we ran into quite a few things that were discoloring. Finish coming off. We identified it down to a Tile-X that a particular customer was using. They're using a product to clean their tile, but they're also trying to clean the hardware and their plumbing fixtures. And they're spraying it on and leaving it. So the gravity brings it down and predominantly the bottoms of what was decaying. So if you did clamps top and bottom, the top clamps are fine. And it uses the same silicone. But the bottom ones, the Tile-X has an acid in it. It's great for tile. It's not good for hardware. Now, you get the bottle of Tile-X and you read it, and it says great on shower doors. So people buy it, but it's not. It's not great on shower doors.
I get you.
False advertising.
So they have a bean counter that figures, hey, let's do it for the amount of claims that we're going to get. Go ahead and print it. So we had customers call Tile-X. There's an 800 number on there. Say, your product damaged my shower door and is proven. And they turn around and say, get an estimate, send it to us, and we'll take care of it.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow. So now you're getting paid to go swap out the hardware. And it's Tile-X, and they'll agree to it. You just got to give them an estimate.
So that's a Tile-X, good tip.
There's another.
Awesome. Yeah. Right.
There's another machine that people buy that spray the showers. They put it on their wall and it sprays a liquid. It does the same thing. And you can identify it. Now, it doesn't affect a lot of the anodized coatings on aluminum, but if you have solid brass hardware, it'll start. And predominantly, it's your brass color more than your chrome plated or brushed nickel.
Okay.
And it's because of that, but it's really harsh on brass, especially if it doesn't have a PVD coating.
But yeah, you're right.
The Tile-X is the problem. And that's why you have it on some and not on others, because isn't using
tile. No, that's the spray that on the BMW rims.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's right.
So, Bill, they're not wrong. They said it's okay for shower doors. They didn't say anything about the hardware.
Right.
No.
But they've been paying for it.
Yeah.
That's the funny part. They're paying for it.
No.
So they know it's harmful. You can do your own test, buy some and take an old hinge and put it in a bottle of that stuff and look at it in a week. Yeah. See what it does to it.
It's all about marketing.
I use Coca-Cola.
There you go.
Yeah.
Same. Well, that's a great note to finish it up on. So
I was saving it for you, Chris.
That's awesome, man. You're the best. Well, hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We had a great group. Even Billy Britt slipped in at the last minute, just in time to say goodnight. So good seeing you, Billy.
Shoveling snow.
And yeah, we had like 17 people on the call tonight. So outstanding.
Could be a record. Good job.
Might be a record. Yeah. See you guys next Wednesday. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.